Stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Gretchen. This is show number 46. Hi, Gretchen.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Well, I've been good. How's our audience doing? I don't hear him talking.
We're fine, Jeff. We're fine. Where you been?
You know,
we've
been gone for like, what, 2 months? A month and a half?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say nobody has...
Nobody cared.
Nobody seemed to care. So it's getting lonely in here. You guys gotta, like, you know, if you listen to the show, let us know. Because I don't know if anybody, I mean, we still get a lot of downloads and we still get a lot of people subscribed, but no feedback, you know.
Well, there's always the man who despises me. Hopefully we'll hear from you again,
even
sir.
He's not around. I miss him.
Come on back, sir. Tell me how bad I am. I love that.
Yeah. And we have
Anonymous, I think your name is.
Yes, Anonymous. Mm-hmm. And we have a new phone number, because what happens with this free service that gives out the phone numbers is if you are not active on it for 3 weeks, they reassign numbers. And normally what I do, because we're so inactive, I normally, you know, I'll phone in myself, as pathetic as that sounds, but I have forgot to do that. So we have a new number. It's on the website, and the phone number is 206-337-1670. Chances are, if you have a voicemail comment, it'll get played.
Oh, good.
Especially if it's a criticism of Gretchen.
Hear that, Anonymous?
If it's a criticism,
you can call in.
If it's a criticism of Jeff, probably won't get played, because at the end of the day, I kind of do the editing. So, you know, but criticisms of Gretchen are open.
They're fair game.
Fair game.
Bring them on.
So, one thing I did want to say to top the show, just a little pet peeve. I'm tired of MySpace. I mean, I don't know. Have you had much experience?
Aren't you a little old, Jeff, to be on MySpace?
Well, look, okay.
You turned
45. Here's an example. Here's an example of this. I looked at...
We're not part of their demographic.
Well, but there's a new sushi restaurant right in my neighborhood, okay? And I thought, well, shoot, they must have a website. I want to find out something about this sushi restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
All they have is a MySpace page. And it's unreadable, like all MySpace pages are. So this is a restaurant, and, you know, bands have websites that are just MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants, bars, different institutions, some of them just have MySpace accounts. And here's my problem with it, is that, first of all, they use, like, you know, 1994 web techniques. So they have this obnoxious background with font colors above it that you can't read. And so I actually have to select the text and paste it someplace so I can read it. And then on MySpace, most of the page is devoted to people that I don't care about making comments about the page. I mean, it's...
Why don't you boycott this sushi restaurant? Just because they're so lame that they can't even put up website.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to actively boycott it, but I'm not going to really go. I was like, I chose someplace else to go because I couldn't get any information on it without being distracted. And then there's all these bozos on it. They're saying, hey, blah, 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 add me to your friends list. You know, it's a freaking restaurant website. All I want is, you know, do you have a list of reviews?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your menu like? Mm-hmm. Maybe what's your prices like? You take reservations.
Right.
That's all I need.
Mm. Wow.
So, and I don't single out that restaurant. It's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. Every MySpace page I have ever gone to has been unreadable and unuseful to me. So I don't know what it is about MySpace. I don't know what's so appealing about it. I don't get it. I guess, like, a band, if you go to a band that has a MySpace page, and if they don't have a web page... I like web pages, but if they don't have a web page, all you get is their fans saying, ooh, cool,
great, or, yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
So hot, yeah.
And I can understand that in a comment section or mm-hmm. in some section that's interesting to hardcore fans, but that's really all you get on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the appeal. Am I just too old? Or am I being reasonable?
I've never understood the appeal of it. And I don't know. I guess I thought I was too old, but I don't have that much time to just sit there and scroll through.
It's horrible.
It's really a waste of time.
And it uses bad web techniques. Like one website was too wide for the screen. So it's like the only way to read it was to scroll constantly left and right. Come on. That's like, you know, web design 101 from 1995. Don't do that.
Maybe you need to be a consultant to MySpace.
I have no interest in that whatsoever. Absolutely none. Anyways, that's my pet peeve for the week.
Okay.
So what do you got, Gretchen?
All right. Well, today's December 10th, right? You know what December 10th is?
It's 3 days after the day that'll live in infamy.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, yeah, that see, is I knew. True. So
that
I was right.
True. That is true.
Do I get an apple?
Also, it's something else, December 10th. Mm. It's its own date. It is the birth date of Alfred Nobel.
Alfred Nobel. And today
Alfred
was
Nobel.
The day that the guy
today
that Indian...
Day.
That the Indian guy accepted his Nobel, that the one that developed these economics for the poor?
You're getting close.
Okay.
You're getting really close, but that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
He's he's my man, Bangladeshi economist. He's not Indian. He's Bangladeshi.
And
the whole country celebrated when it was announced in October that he was going to win.
He was on Jon Stewart or some show recently, and he was very engaging.
He's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot about his bank, and I just thought I'd maybe tell the listeners like why it's so amazing and why it actually does work.
Good.
Because it's pretty amazing. Today, he did accept his $1.4 million prize plus his gold medal and his trophy in Stockholm. And his name is Muhammad Yunus, and it's the Grameen Bank.
Okay.
And the Grameen Bank is actually, he won the Nobel Peace Prize because he's actually making a huge dent in fighting poverty and eradicating the roots of terrorism. And
wow.
That's what he was recognized for, and he beat out 191 other folks in this particular category.
Wow.
But the bank was initially set up. He is an economist. He was trained in the United States. He went back to Bangladesh, and he set up the bank in 1983. He was the first lender to provide microcredit, and that is really, really teeny loans to the poorest of all people that no other bank would ever consider giving loans to.
And this was back in 83?
83. So
that I didn't realize. That was truly innovative back then.
That's how long he's been doing it. But what's really amazing is in the primarily Muslim nation that Bangladesh is, that women were not allowed to really even touch money or work outside of the home. And most of the loans that the bank gives are for women.
Right.
And that's because they are the ones who will spend their money more carefully, and they are the ones who are far more likely to repay debt than men are. So to date, for the 23 years that it's been in business, they have 6.6 million borrowers, over 2,000 branches. The model is in over 100 countries, and they've lent $5.72 billion, and you know what the repayment rate is?
What?
98%.
Wow.
That's how much money they get back. It's really a remarkable model, but the fact that it can work everywhere is what's pretty amazing about it. So it's just a really, really interesting concept, and if you want to read more about it, there's a million hits on any kind of there's a lot of articles out there about the Grameen Bank, and it has its own actual web page where it tells you all it does, and you can actually support it, and you can give money.
Can I get a loan from it?
I don't think you would qualify, Jeff. I really don't think that they're going to give you $9 so that you can go buy bread, candy, pickles, or toys.
Oh, I could use some pickles, and Christmas is around the corner, and nothing says Christmas like pickles.
Well, I just wanted to tell him congratulations. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
And you know what's what's great to hear is that the country celebrated it.
Oh, yeah, the country was so thrilled that because you just hear about, they're always getting wiped out in a, flood or some horrible disease or happening in Bangladesh.
Yeah. But I'm surprised that the Bangladeshi citizenry aren't kind of pissed. It's like, we get a Nobel Prize for this. How do you stop the floods?
I know,
come
I
on, know. Work on stuff that's going to help us and the earthquakes and the famine and,
Well, he's going to use his money to make low-cost, nutritious food for the poor and establish an eye clinic.
Okay.
So he still continues to do good.
Well, I think that's very nice.
He's a wonderful man. So.
Well, another very, very wonderful person in the news lately has been Britney Spears.
There's a good segue.
And I think
from Muhammad Yunus to Britney Spears.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. but really,
with her underwear on or without?
Well, I was going to say, I think she's doing us all a great service. She's starting this trend. Her and Paris Hilton are going with the undie, non-undie look, anti-undie look. And what's better for society than that? I mean, it's a really cool trend, I think. And that's why I give her a lot of credit. But actually, she's...
Don't you want your mom to be doing that, too? Especially when you're a baby, you can look back at your baby pictures, and there'll be pictures of mom getting out of the limo.
Seeing lots of bits and pieces around. I think she'll be very proud of that coming up. But no, I was kind of reading about her. I don't know, just because why do we read about
because
this stuff?
She, it's there. She's the actual most searched person on the web.
I searched her today preparation for this website. And I felt a little bit guilty contributing to it, but because really it's people like me that are just fueling this crap. I mean, the whole thing is she pretty much went pantyless because, you know, I think it's all PR. It's getting you into the news again. But she's also been caught, have you heard this, with lots of antidepressants and weight loss drugs. Her friends have said it opens up her purse and she's just got a huge amount of pills. She's carrying wine glasses out of bars and she's apparently taking Xanax for anxiety and Paxil for antidepressant. But the pantyless thing has kind of been in the news lately. And did you know there's a website now where you can go bet on different celebrities and who's going to be found pantyless next?
Who'd you bet on?
Well, number one is actually, now this kind of surprised me, 300 to 1 odds or something for Jessica Simpson. But Jessica is not a pantyless, she's not a...
I don't think she needs that. She does enough to stay in the news.
She does enough to stay in the news, and actually
she's... Lindsay Lohan is pretty close up there.
Yeah, Lohan.
Yeah,
these guys.
Close.
Yeah, probably so. So anyways, it's kind of... I just thought I would bring some Christmas joy to people who are, you know, watching this kind of stuff.
To men who want to fantasize about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess some women, too.
And I also saw an interview where they said, well, Paris basically told her to do that. It'll make her feel free. And the way they feel great about it is they are completely shaved down there and they're clean and they feel like, hey, I'm free. That's just crazy.
You know a little too much about this topic there.
All I have to do is Google and 10 minutes later, I'm like an expert on it. It's out there, baby. But I'm surprised that the conservative moral people aren't just up in a rage because society is... It doesn't quite accept the pantyless thing, but it's not quite fully repugnant of it either. I mean, society is moving, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that. Society is moving.
Really? Is that a segue to something you have?
Yeah, it definitely is.
That's almost like we planned this show in advance.
All right, you're a big music fan.
I am.
1936, the Oscar-winning song from 1936.
Oh.
It was from the musical Swing Time with Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire.
Okay. What was the song?
The Way You Look Tonight.
Oh, what a great song.
Everybody knows what a beautiful song
it is. And that is a great song.
It is, right. Well, these are just two of the verses because I wanted to compare it to the 70 Years Later and the Oscar-winning song from 2006.
Huh, okay.
All right, so these are the lyrics from the 1936 winner. Someday when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight. Segue to 2006. Remember who won 2006?
No.
From the movie Hustle and Flow.
Oh.
Here are the lyrics, some of the lyrics, and see what you make of this. You know it's hard out here for a pimp when he trying to get his money for the rent, for the Cadillacs and gas money spent. We'll have a whole lot of bitches talking shit. We'll have a whole lot of witches jumping ship. From verse 1. Done seen people killed, done seen people deal, done seen people live in poverty with no meals. It's fucked up where I live, and that's just how it is. And from the chorus, man, it seems like I'm ducking, dodging bullets every day. Niggas hating on me because I got hoes on the tray, but I gotta stay paid, gotta stay above water. Couldn't keep up with my hoes, that's when shit got harder. Wait, I got a snow bunny and a black girl too. You pay the right price and they'll both do you. That's the way the game goes. Gotta keep it strictly pimpin'. Gotta have my hustle tight, making change off these women, yay.
And the way you look tonight.
And the way you look tonight.
That's beautiful.
70 years difference there. What do you think? So you just talked about Britney Spears.
I think
Spears
lyrics have advanced.
Showing her private genitals to every paparazzi out
there.
Versus her public genitals.
I don't mind her showing her public genitals, but the private ones that really bother me.
But I don't know. I thought this was a really interesting comparison.
Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, the fact that...
The quality lyrics has gotten a lot better. It's much more intelligent, right? All those words that I didn't understand.
That vulgarity is actually being recognized by probably our one of the most preeminent institutions in the United States to give out awards.
Right.
And they've actually said that this is okay, and this is the best that 2006 offered.
So what's interesting is that, and I actually like that song. I mean, I sort of like the lyrics. I don't know if I listen, or the music, you know, I don't know if
the,
I really
the lyrics are pretty shocking.
Caught
that
all the
wasn't
lyrics.
All of them,
right.
Trust me, I edited it.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, if you look at people that like the music that has those lyrics, it's, you know, it's pretty much.
It's all like that.
Probably 20 and below or so. That's probably not true. Probably in the people in their 20s too. But I wonder at the time of The Way You Look Tonight was out, if it was the same demographic, did it appeal to a wider range of Americans, or was it still the, you know, 25 and unders that were into music? I wonder about that.
True, but it was also the culture at the time when this is what you said.
Right.
What you weren't allowed to say.
And you now didn't say, hire two bitches at a time.
When you got your hose.
The way you look tonight, the way you and you look tonight.
For 500 cool bucks.
With blow, with...
Yeah, there you go. So,
wow.
I thought that was a... interesting take on where music has gone in 70 years.
Well, and where music goes, society
70
goes.
70 years from now, can you imagine
where we're going to be?
Like?
Yes, it's going to be all one big swear word.
Yeah, that's right.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you. In the way you look tonight, yes, you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to.
Well, hey, it is Christmas time around the corner.
It is.
And I wanted to let everybody know that it's shopping season. Well, it may be too late for shopping season for some gifts, but it is shopping season. And I have some, I pulled out some things about Christmas gifts.
Okay.
For everybody. So, number one gift, and this is close to you, Gretchen. You might know some of these, but the number one selling Christmas gift in Amazon.com is, guess what? Do you know?
Tickle Me Elmo. No.
No,
PlayStation.
Nope.
The Wii?
A little side note, though, before we talk about that. The PlayStation has had disappointing sales up to this year of 200,000. It's the PlayStation 3 I'm talking about.
Right.
And the Nintendo Wii has had three times the sales. Now, that's no surprise because you can't buy a PlayStation 3.
Right, you can't. And the price, too. The price
right, difference. And the price is ridiculous. Right. So I don't think Sony's really too worried about it just yet because, you know, if you can't sell what you don't have, right?
Right.
Well, anyways. It's called, this is number one on Amazon, is the Leapfrog Interactive Fly Pentop Computer Bundle Pack. Have you heard about this?
Uh-huh, the Fly, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It's a pen, basically, and it's got a little computer chip in there, and it talks to you. And you draw things with the pen, like you can draw a calculator, and then use the calculator.
Right.
And you can draw, like, a piano keyboard and have it play music and, you know, a bunch of other things.
Right.
Very interesting.
It's been out a couple years now.
Oh, has it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never heard of it.
Well,
and it's made for tweens. Now, a tween is what? Is that before a teenager?
Yes.
Okay.
It's say 9 to 12.
Okay.
Oh, that's pre-tween. Yeah, that's tweens. Yeah,
is that tween?
It's in between elementary school and teenager.
Okay, so kind of like junior high school age.
Yeah, it's the junior high school age.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
The second most popular gift in Amazon is called the Radica 20 Questions Ball.
Oh, okay.
And
it's
like the old 8-ball thing.
Uh-huh.
But I looked at it, and it's like the goofiest, stupidest thing. I mean, even the reviews of it were like, this sucks. So I don't know who's buying that.
Okay, anybody who bought it, take it back now.
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed.
It looks lame. Okay, Toys R Us, number one gift. And this is for preschool.
The Leapfrog video game system?
Nope.
No?
But you're more in touch with it than I am. I'm sure that's up there. No, it's the Kid Tough digital camera in pink.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the second, and this is like a $89 digital camera made by
Fisher Price.
Thank you. That's who
right.
it is.
And you can drop it, right?
Yes.
That's the big deal is that they've, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the second number, second preschool gift from Toys R Us is the Kid Tough digital camera in blue.
Pink followed by blue.
Yes. And I looked at the pink one and I had to say it was very cute. I think a little girl would really like it. It was stylish. It was styling.
Or some little boys.
Or some little boys, you know, you're never too early. The from a consumer goods standpoint, from Circuit City, number one gift?
Oh. A TV of some sort.
No, but it's not a bad guess because apparently high digital TVs, we're talking about a little bit about that before the show, are actually in high demand this Christmas season. No, it's the Canon digital cameras. They didn't specify a model, so I imagine it's sort of all Canon digital cameras in general. And it's kind of funny because about 3 weeks ago, I actually bought a Canon digital camera. I bought the SD800, and I'm really pleased with it. It's great. It's a great camera. Good quality. Price seems reasonable. I'm happy with it.
Did they pay you?
Who pay me?
Did Canon pay you? Endorse their products?
No, but I do endorse their products. And, okay, so now we have Deloitte Touche survey. Deloitte Touche, of course, is the Big Five accounting company located in Chicago, Illinois. 2006 most wanted gifts. Number one is the TMX Elmo. No surprise. We talked about that. You brought that up in our last show or two shows ago.
And they actually went ahead and paid for air freight to make them. They could increase production 30%.
Really?
Uh-huh. So they're actually airing goods in.
Really?
They're putting them on a plane, and I can't tell you how expensive that is. But basically, it eats up most of the profit, but just to get more in the pipeline.
Really? So they're going to sell it at the same price?
Minimum is 60 days to get one from China to the United States, minimum. So no matter how fast that they, you know, that when they realized how strong the demand was back in September,
Gretchen, why does it have to take so long? I mean, we do have airplanes. We don't have boats. You know, these things don't have to come by boat anymore. Right. Is it that things get hung up in customs
takes,
and
no,
tariffs?
It just takes that long to make it.
Oh, okay.
There's
this
so
is,
many components. This
got
is,
it.
It's a really complicated item to make.
Got
I mean,
it.
It's got computers in it. And it just
so it's not just
it
shipping.
Fabric.
I was thinking you were just on my distribution.
Yeah. No, not the distribution. No, it's just to actually make it and get it here.
Got it. So if you wanted to get a TMX Elmo by Christmas?
I think you pretty much have to go to an auction site or gray market and get it.
Okay.
Although I hear people are watching stores to see when they get delivered.
And camping out?
Camping out.
I love camping out in stores. I was there for the PlayStation 3. You know
were
it.
You?
I was there
were
for 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Would you take vacation?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I didn't. We went
you
on
don't
a hunger.
Care about that job.
Yeah, who cares? You're talking about PlayStation 3 here. You know, I know there's no game specifically made for PlayStation 3 that you can't play on a PlayStation 2, but that's details.
That's besides the point.
All right. There's also, now, I don't know if these are in order or not, the website wasn't specific, but the other 2006 most wanted gifts are an iPod. Again, it didn't specify the model. The PlayStation, it didn't specify two or three. And
it has
to
be PlayStation 3.
And the Xbox. Uh-huh. Surprisingly, the Nintendo Wii wasn't in this. I don't know why, because the sales seem to be doing well on that. Now, the 2006 most in-demand gift cards. I'll bet you can guess a few of these. I've got six listed here. Make some guesses.
In-demand gift card.
If you're going to buy a gift card for somebody that, you know.
Home Depot.
Okay, got one.
Best Buy.
Got two.
Target.
You know, I would have guessed that too, but actually that's not in the six that were listed here.
No?
No.
Okay, I would have thought Target. Toys R Us?
Nope. That was a good guess, too.
No. Okay, Gap?
Nope. Boy, you're just tanking it now.
Sorry. Circuit City?
Nope.
Restaurants? Some type of restaurant?
No restaurants on the list.
No.
Well, one is kind of a restaurant. One is Starbucks.
Ugh.
Starbucks is on there.
Oh, okay. Lord. Yeah, okay.
Lowe's is on here.
Lowe's is on there.
Yeah.
Lowe's and Home Depot.
Yeah.
So it's all about home improvement.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then there's Walmart.
I was going to say Walmart, but that's why I went for Target because I thought Walmart is so tacky. Can you
I would have thought that too.
Gift card.
But yet,
enjoy.
But yet, Target is actually okay. You know, I agree. And then iTunes. You should have gotten iTunes.
Oh, I guess I should have gotten iTunes.
Yeah,
yep.
I think so.
Yep.
I've given those before.
Okay.
Like, my niece loves those. Okay, although I'll probably have to get her something more original this year. So
yeah,
if Elizabeth,
especially if she hears this.
If you're listening.
You're getting a Lowe's gift card. Yeah. Hope you like hammers.
For all your home improvement needs. All right, I have one more Christmas thing I want to share with you, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I got a couple more things, but I'll save one for later. Christmas music. This time of year always kind of makes me, I love Christmas music, for that's just a general disclaimer, but it always makes me laugh because it's the only time of the year that we ever care about certain artists like Mel Torme, Andy Williams, Bing Crosby, Gene Autry, and Johnny Mathis.
Right.
You know?
Those are the classics.
Do you care about those people? Andy Williams, they have a list of the top 25 most requested Christmas songs,
uh-huh.
And Andy Williams actually has two on the list.
Wow.
He's got Let It Snow and... Oh, I can't. Oh, I wrote down the abbreviations MWTOTY. I can't remember what that is. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Okay,
that's
all
it.
Right.
Most wonderful time of the year. Bing Crosby, of course. White Christmas. Gene Autry. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Mathis.
I'll be home for Christmas.
No, that's actually
that's Resting by the Open.
No, IBTLAILC. It's Beginning to Look a Little Like Christmas. That's it. And Mel Torme, who actually does the Christmas song, but he also wrote the Christmas song.
That's true.
Now, it also brings to mind some artists I actually really like Nat King Cole,
mm-hmm.
and Dean Martin. I always love hearing Dino and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I love them year-round, so I love hearing them at Christmas time. I don't mind listening to Andy Williams and Bing Crosby, but it's like, you know, their own... I don't care about them, and I don't think America cares about them.
Well... I will tell you that I finally figured out where the Christmas stations are on XM radio. And
okay.
There's not one, two, three, or four. There's five. And they're all are so very similar that I still haven't quite figured out what's the difference between traditional Christmas and classic Christmas.
Ah.
You know? And
yeah.
And that these are exactly the people they've been playing.
So. On classic Christmas?
On whatever one. I can't tell the difference. So
now, have you gotten to rap Christmas?
Forth. No, I didn't get
yo, biatch.
I can just imagine what Santa is thinking about that. Yeah. No, I haven't listened to the rap Christmas. But
it is funny. I mean, nobody cares about, like, Andy Williams, soft pop, soft, what they call pop at the time.
Well,
but, you know,
I think
in Christmas time, everybody loves it.
But I think our parents do, you know?
I mean, I do. I like the stuff. I don't like Andy Williams. Come on. But you know,
Johnny Mathis, come on,
Johnny
Mathis, beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's a beautiful voice, and Tony Bennett, he does some Christmas.
No, too. Tony Bennett's acceptable. Mm-hmm. Johnny Mathis is on the borderline of ugh to me, and Mel Torme, come on, forget about it. So anyway, so speaking about Christmas music, I thought that I wrote a song that I'm very proud of. I still like this song. Yeah, about 3 years ago, and it's called, I don't remember what it's called now. It's called...
Don't you have it abbreviated in there? IBGOTM.
Yeah. What is it called? It doesn't feel like Christmas without you, and I'm going to play it right now. We'll be back.
Oh, okay.
The snow is falling down. There's laughter all around. This used to be my favorite time of year. There's lots of Christmas lights to sparkle up the night, but they don't seem as bright without you here. I thought that I was over you. I've been the toast of the town, attending parties and out on dates till December rolls around. The house is decked in green and red, but how come I feel so blue? I miss you most on the holidays.
doesn't feel like Christmas without you. How we love the mistletoe. Underneath we linger long. This year there is no mistletoe. Just a lonely Christmas song. The house is decked in green and red, but how come I feel so blue? I miss you most on the holiday. It doesn't feel like Christmas without you.
Christmas?
No, I'm done.
Are you done? Okay, do you want to talk about the 101 people that are the most influential that you've ever heard of that really never lived?
Sure.
Did you hear about this? This fabulous book?
Yes, I think I did hear about that.
This is what I hope is in my Christmas stocking because the book is so cute.
Really?
Mm-hmm. These are the characters of myth, legend, and television and movies that shaped our society, changed our behavior, and set the course of history. There's 101 of them, and you can probably guess some of them. You can probably guess. Okay, I'll tell you who didn't make the list, because this was pretty interesting to me, that Darth Vader, Charlie Brown, and Mr. Whipple did not make the list, even though they are popular. Even though they are popular, but...
I would think Darth Vader would be on that list.
You'd think he would be. I told you that Barbie and Mickey Mouse are on the list. Would you go? And Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, uh-huh. Not surprised. But Barbie's right. not real?
No.
I thought her dimensions were based on reality.
Oh, yeah, they totally are. What every girl aspires to. 42, 24, 32. Yeah.
Well, no way. They don't know about women aspiring to it, but that's what men aspire to. That's for sure.
And for our Dallas friends, J.R. Ewing is on the list. And
wow.
And for all you comic
book
guys.
He's kind of yesterday's news. So.
Yeah, that's true, but he still made the list as being influential.
Okay.
For all you comic book guys, you got Batman and Superman.
Yep.
And Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock.
You bet, I'll bet.
And James Bond, which, by the way, did you see the new one?
No, but I really want to. I heard it's good. Have you seen it?
Really good. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Really good. They take every opportunity to take that man's shirt off, and they do an excellent job. Excellent job.
Oh, Gregie, I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they really did that on purpose.
How about the women shots?
They're attractive, but not as much flesh as you've seen in past Bond girls.
Okay, you know? So major thumbs down on the James Bond movie. Well, I haven't seen it yet.
You know what? He's really cool. You'll like him. He's got a nice attitude.
I heard it's a great movie.
He's got a really good attitude. This time of year, Ebenezer Scrooge has actually been on the list.
Yeah,
he's number
good.
16 in terms of influence.
Go Chuck Dickens. I call him Chuck.
That's right. Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Frankenstein's monster, and the top five most influential people that never lived. Number five was Hamlet. Number four, Santa Claus. Number three, King Arthur. Number two, Big Brother. And number one was the Marlboro Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did it talk about, you know, how they influence? Like, for example, why is, what was the fifth, I'm sorry, what was number five?
Hamlet.
Yeah, why is Hamlet on there?
How did Hamlet become number five?
Yeah. Right.
That's what the book is. So I'm gonna get the book and read it, and I'm gonna find out. And these were three rogue philosophers who put this together. They narrowed it down from 500, and they picked these 101.
So to buy the book or not to buy the book, that is the question.
That is the question. Yeah, I haven't seen
it. Did you get that? That's a little Hamlet play.
That's right. Well, the book's only $14. Loch Ness Monster made it, too. And some of them I don't even know, so that's why I'd really like to
intriguing.
Read more about them.
Right.
Because I think that is an interesting, you know, they are
Marlboro Man was number one.
Number one.
I guess he sold a lot of cigarettes.
He's the most famous killer in the past 200 years.
Wow.
Yep. The Cowboy of Death is followed by Big Brother, which is a symbol of totalitarianism and abuse of government. And that was the only political thing they actually went. The rest of the whole point of the book was to entertain. So
really?
Yeah. So I'm going to get it for Christmas, and I'll read it, and I can tell you more about it.
You're going to get it for yourself? Is that how lonely your life is?
Maybe. Maybe my friend Anonymous wants to get it for me.
I bought a Canon digital camera for myself. So that's how much of a loser I am.
There you go. So I'll buy my $14 book.
Well, I do have a couple Christmas news items. I wasn't completely done with Christmas.
Oh, still talking Christmas. Okay.
Yeah. So one thing that I just saw on the news today, did you see the Seattle airport is pulling their 15 Christmas trees from all over the airport because some rabbi complained. He felt insulted. And,
they didn't have a menorah up? Well, it's not time yet, but I mean, they didn't even have the menorah up?
I don't know. They didn't say, but he was going to sue.
Oh, wow.
So more of that kind of stuff. And this is the headlines in the BBC of all places and a number of other newspapers. A terrorist attack attempt is likely in England. They're expecting an attempt. Now, they think they'll catch it before it happens, but they absolutely expect something around the holidays to be attempted.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Well, we had that guy in Illinois, man, who wanted to, like, blow up the mall.
Rockford Mall.
Acting alone, obviously. What was he thinking?
Not a grand plan.
And yet, our law enforcement officers foiled that plan.
And he was going around.
What was he doing? He was going to trade his stereo speakers for explosives.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
Oh my! I don't think he's in the world class gang of terrorists.
He hasn't been through the Al Qaeda training camp.
I don't think
clearly.
So. Clearly. Probably not.
Maybe he was trying to impress them by his independent stuff.
So did you hear what happened in New York a couple days ago?
What happened in New York a couple days ago?
The New York City Board of Health says that you cannot now buy food in New York that is made with trans fats.
I did see that. In fact, I blogged about it. I have a blog on thisandthatpodcast.com.
And what did you say? That you really just don't want the government meddling in what you eat?
No, I said I understand that there's some you know, free market and privacy issues, but I think pragmatic people have to sort of draw a line some places and what government where they should and shouldn't be allowed to be. I think that this is one of those fine line items. Trans fat is a killer, and you know, it is the government's duty to some extent to protect us and keep us from poisons. I think trans fats are poisons.
But it's eating it in moderation. You really think you eat a couple of potato chips and that's going to put you over the edge?
No.
Actually, where it's going to be bogged down in lawsuits are, can a city override the FDA? Because the FDA says these are fine.
Yeah.
And so that's where, it's one of the places where it's going to be.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, I think it's extreme, okay? But it's probably not necessarily going to stick because it is kind of an extreme. And again, it does get into personal rights. But I kind of like the movement because if you do hear the fast food chains, they say, we're not going to move out of New York. We are actively doing research to get rid of trans fat from our stuff. And I think that's a good pressure to have. So, you know, somehow,
unless it's replaced with another villain like saturated fat. And that's what they say is going to happen because the most important pressing question is this going to change the taste of my French fries? And if that's the case, Americans aren't going to have it. So that's one of the bigger issues.
Yeah, I guess it is. it should be our choice to die early and enjoy something that we want to enjoy.
Right. Or can you not apply a little bit of moderation and think that maybe you shouldn't eat these really bad five foods, and you want to know what the worst offenders are?
What?
Stick margarine. Okay, so how many people are out there eating a stick of margarine?
I lick on it all day long.
Do you?
It's like a lollipop.
Then your
big
arteries,
stick margarine lollipop.
Your arteries must be just completely shut down.
Yeah.
Second is chips and crackers.
Well, see, what I do is I dip my stick margarine in chips and crackers.
And then you have that for breakfast along with your other breakfast foods.
My power meal.
Of muffins, donuts, pancakes, and bagels, which are number three on the list. I mean, everything that's good for you is obviously going to be on this list, right? So number four, baked goods, including kosher baked goods. Come on. People eat kosher are not out of the woods here because kosher foods use a lot more trans fat.
Right.
And number five, prepared foods such as French fries and Chinese takeout. So what's life coming to if you can't make a decision about this? You know, I think that I know enough that I can limit my intake of a cracker in order to eat more to eat more fruits and vegetables. But I'm not sure I need the government to tell me that.
So, but I wonder if there's got to be some solution out there to help our society, help people make better choices while not forcing them, you know? Because I'm not sure that people, and let's face it, it's people that are at the low income levels that are more susceptible to this because the food is fairly cheap.
Right.
And the reason it's cheap, folks, is because they're using trans fat. So, you know, I'm not saying it's easy, but there is a role to push these people to better health at the same time.
You don't need any of these five offenders? You don't need to be pushed? You eat?
No, I do, but like you, I'll eat some of those in moderation. I'm very conscious of it. And I know when I'm eating trans fat. I absolutely know it. And I limit it. I watch it. Because I want to be healthy. And quite frankly, because I can afford to make choices. You know?
And you're in the know, so to speak.
And I'm in the know.
Yeah.
Because I'm a podcaster. And we podcasters are in the know.
Yeah, we're in the know.
So anyway, it's a tough issue that you bring up.
Well, I don't think it'll take effect for a while because I think it is totally going to be tied up in court. But way to go, yeah. New York City.
Well, I think I would guess it's an output of nationwide frustration. In fact, when I read the article, I also saw that many other major cities were sort of contemplating the same kind of legislation. Although, of course, there's all kinds of problems and lawsuits and all that kind of stuff. But just the fact that government city officials in a lot of different places in the states are even contemplating something like this, I think it's an output of how do we manage our health costs. What can we possibly do to encourage people to eat and give them healthier, give them easier, healthier options? I mean, ever since 20 years ago, I've always thought, you know, sometimes I just want to go out and get fast food because I don't have a lot of time. You know, I'm at work. I don't have a lot of time to eat, but I want something that's not going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any choices. And that just seems... I know it should be the market, and of course it should be the market-driven. I believe in market-driven. I believe in capitalism. But how come there's not more of me that drive this, you know? And maybe a little push.
I think there are in different parts of the country.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, I think there are some fast food healthy alternatives. Or at least that's what people purport them to be.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe I haven't looked hard enough, but I struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go to Wendy's and get a freaking salad. I want something substantial.
Well, let's not go down the road with the salad dressing again, because I don't want to go
Mr.
there.
Oh, Mr. Anonymous is on you for that.
On Christmas, they're cutting down trees, putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. Yeah, but it don't snow.
Well, I wanted to talk just a little bit about a very sad story. You read about James Kim, the CNET associate managing editor, and he died while trying to save his family. And I guess it was Southern Oregon. They were lost in the in the snow. They took an off-road that was supposed to be closed, but it was accidentally open, and they were, quite frankly, they were trying to take a shortcut, and they kind of screwed up, but they were in their car for 9 days with two little girls, and they survived.
Right.
And finally,
that was amazing.
As anybody would, they finally said, hey, we got to do something.
Right.
And, you know, I don't blame them at all. But 2 days later, I guess, they think he lasted 2 days before he succumbed to hypothermia. And the interesting thing about it is they found him with, like, his shedding his clothes.
Right.
So apparently when you have hypothermia, you start feeling very warm, like you're overheated.
Oh, I thought he was delirious, too.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of it. But you know how, like, if you touch something really cold or really hot, you can't tell the difference right away?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably something that like that is going on. So he felt very hot.
Wow.
Of course, he's delirious and close to death, but it's really sad. I went to CNET, and for anybody that's kind of into technical and CNET gadgets and things, they have a tribute to him. And their tribute to him is really, they simply showed some of the videos. CNET does videos in their product reviews. And they showed him doing some of these product reviews. And I thought it was a very nice tribute. Really nice.
Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't sappy, but it was showing him doing his thing. And he was a very charming young man. Young man. I sound like an old geezer. He was a very charming young man.
Well, he was in his 30s, right?
He was in his 30s, like mid-30s, I say.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he just, it's a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sad story. So, Merry Christmas.
All right, well, speaking about happiness, do you know there's all this research out now.
Are we speaking about happiness?
All right. No, I will speak about happiness because you can get off that.
Because I just dragged people down.
Yeah, that was sad. It is sad.
I know.
It's very sad. And, the vandals broke the lock on the gate, supposedly.
Yeah, right.
So now you're wondering, at least I'm wondering, is there going to be a lawsuit?
Yeah, you wonder about it. I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
I sort of wonder. Is that coming next?
But. You're quick with the legal thing.
Well, it's just sort of our society.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
But back to happiness. 9 tips for happiness. This is what economists and psychologists are saying now.
Wow.
If you want to be happier, don't think about spending money. Focus on how you spend your time. And they've got these 9 tips, and it actually sort of makes sense, but now there's research that backs it up, which
really?
I think is pretty amazing. That the first suggestion is to make time for friends, because they're saying a new survey says that 43% of married people say they're very happy, compared to 24% for those who aren't happy, because they're saying married people spend less time alone, and part of your brain is stimulated by the presence of other people. You're more active and energetic and engaged. So for the same reason, seeing good friends, whether you're married or not, has that same impact and influence. So if you give your friends more priority rather than trying to go out and make more money, you'll actually be happier. And that's now sort of being documented.
Yeah.
The second thing they say is don't focus on getting a pay raise, because the extra money gets taken for granted and you get on what's called the hedonic treadmill.
Where all I bought one of those the other day.
Oh, did you? Are you on it?
Yeah.
Because now you got a pay raise and, it just the excitement of the raise dissipates. So that shouldn't be something that you should really be striving for.
It's okay. I haven't had a pay raise in 5 years. It's not really a problem
for my life. See, according to the research, that wouldn't be making you happy. So
my company's doing that on purpose because they're trying to maximize my utility.
They're trying to make you happier. That's right. And research
says, very smart people, my company.
That's right. And the research also says don't trade up. Research says that once folks achieve a fairly basic standard of living, it takes a lot of additional money to even get a small increase in reported happiness. Because the thing is, you tend to want to keep up with the Joneses. So say you do try to trade up and you try to move into a better neighborhood, where you're going to look around and you're going to say, well, my house isn't as nice as these. But they say you get more satisfaction out of looking out of your window and seeing your neighbors with lower incomes, which sounds absolutely awful.
Well, it's so kind of the same.
They're saying it actually is to be in a neighborhood you're comfortable in, and then just stay there and sustain that, and you'll actually be much happier than if you try to get into whatever.
I can believe that, because it seems like if you start in some sort of competing for materialistic things, there's no end to it.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right. There's not.
Yeah, and, so I can see that.
Right. They also say, 4, keep your commute short, because commuting is one of life's least pleasurable activities, because it is unpredictable. And we would much rather spend time doing leisure than commuting. And so they say that people are happier with shorter commutes,
yeah.
Which I can believe that.
Yeah.
because I've had a 2-hour commute in New York and it really, really sucked. So
yeah,
I can tell you it's really not good. Number 5, they say count your blessings. Focus on what you do have and not what you don't have, and be really thankful for that, and be thankful often. Number 6.
I was just talking with a friend yesterday, actually, about happiness.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things we talked about is one of the keys is counting your blessings.
Yep.
That's very interesting that would be in that report. Seriously, it's interesting.
And number 6, enjoy a good meal. Good meal without trans fats. No, have some trans fats.
Go ahead,
have some trans fats.
Trade in some trans fats for some Utes.
They're saying eating ranks as one of our favorite pastimes, and that's why the French really know how to enjoy their food more.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because when you say have a good meal, people are saying, yes, I'm going to go out and grab a Whopper.
No, they're saying
we're talking
enjoy
about go to a nice restaurant that serves, it doesn't have to be 5-star, but go to a restaurant that you enjoy. Enjoy slow service and socializing
they said
combine it with friends so you get both things.
Right.
And have some wine.
Right.
You know, that's
And do
awesome.
What the French do and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. 7, challenge yourself. Leisure is more pleasurable than work, but it's all about how you spend your leisure time. So they really advocate exercise on a regular basis because it leaves you healthier, not going home and just sitting in front of the TV.
Right.
Your new big TV, by the way, because that's number 2. That was number 2, right? Try to keep
acquiring
more things.
Bigger.
Right. And number 8, volunteer. Engage in charitable activities because it helps you realize that the world can be a good place.
Hmm.
And number 9, give it time, because they say that happiness is on a U-shaped curve. And so we sort of go through the U and we get grumpy as we approach our 40s. And then things start to get good as we get over 40, which I thought was kind of nice.
It's very interesting.
You tend to get happier as you grow older.
Well, knock on wood,
you're in that bell curve, aren't you?
You know, I've never really sunk. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm really lucky. I've never felt that materialistic thing, even when I was younger. I never really felt like I'll be happy if I have more. I mean, again, I've always been in a position because, you know, of the field that I've chosen, where I've gotten to buy the things that I wanted, but that's also because my needs have been somewhat modest. You know, it's been always lucky that way. Maybe it's because of the way I was raised, who knows, but
sure.
I knock on wood that I'm that way, because I realize a lot of people aren't, and I know I'm lucky. It's not just I'm a better person. I'm not. I'm just lucky, you know, and I appreciate that. Counting my blessings.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I don't volunteer. That's probably the one thing on the list that I don't do very well.
It actually does. It doesn't make a difference. I've done it a bit.
Where have you been volunteering?
I volunteered at Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
And then
you were building houses, right?
I was building houses, and I'm going to do it again in February.
Awesome.
It starts up again.
Awesome. What's your specialization?
Painting.
Oh, I could have hired you to paint my house. Dang, if I had only known, I bet you would have given me a good rate.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. And what was ironic is, I was having my kitchen painted while I was painting someone else's house. There you go. But I felt
you were getting
good
your house
it.
Painted by professionals while the amateur was out painting someone else's house.
Well, okay, yes.
I don't blame you. But, you know, you're learning it too. Actually, it's great because you're not only helping and feel good about that, but you're actually kind of learning a skill that you can apply around your house.
I know, I could. It is practice. Yeah. It is practice. And I was going to volunteer at the Salvation Army, but they actually were full. Go figure. Congratulations, all you volunteers out there. They didn't need any more help, which I just thought was
what
kind amazing.
What were they looking for? People to man the retail shops or to help?
And the bell ringers and serving Thanksgiving dinner. And they just.
I would be so freaked out if I was walking out of a grocery store and there's Gretchen ringing the bell.
You better give me a dollar.
I probably would. But I wonder if you're giving it to the Salvation Army.
Oh, please.
Just kidding.
Oh, please. God.
I'm just kidding. Well, was that your cell phone? Yeah, I think it wasn't mine.
I don't think that was. No, I don't think so.
It wasn't mine. Was it Santa Claus? It's a little early.
Something's up on the chimney. Quick, I hear reindeer feet.
I hear reindeer. No, seriously, people, we do.
Well.
Ho, ho, ho.
Santa. You're number four on the list of most influential characters.
That never existed. Never. Let me repeat, never existed.
I hope there's no six-year-old or unders listening.
No, we don't allow them into this show. So for all you Dallas, I got a couple quick Dallas hits. I did go to the Restaurant Central 214. Gretchen, have you been yet?
Nope.
Okay. Good and bad. Mostly good. Very, very hip. The Palomar Hotel, which they created out of the Hilltop Inn, which was a, just for those not in Dallas, was a kind of an old, 40s or 50s hotel. Nothing fancy. They totally transformed it. It's like a boutique hotel now. Kind of like the ones in L.A. and Sunset. What are those called? The Standard.
Oh,
it's kind of like the Standard, kind of that whole genre. So Central 214 is a restaurant, and it's very hip, very cool. Food was excellent. The service was really kind of fast. They just like boom, 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 boom. They tried to get us out of there really, really fast. But I liked it. I just wanted to pass that along. Highly recommended. Definitely worth a trip to the Palomar. I think I would even recommend just hanging out at the lounge for a martini or something. It's just a very cool, very hip-looking scene. So why I was there, I don't know.
They let you in?
Yeah, after a bunch of strange looks. This isn't really Dallas, I guess, but a quick review. I saw a movie, Venus. Venus stars Peter O'Toole, and he's old now, and he plays an old man who's dying. And he plays this guy who kind of has this friendship with this young, sexy 20-year-old. And it's very, very warm-hearted, beautiful, deep movie. I saw it at Talk Cinema, so it's not out yet until I think they're going to release it in, you know, limited release, because it'll probably be like an indie film right before Christmas. But I highly recommend it. It's one of the best movies of the year, I think, and Peter O'Toole will undoubtedly get a nomination for Best Actor. And since he's never won, he's been like nominated, I think, five times maybe. But since he's never won, and they wanted to give him an honorary one before, I just have a sneaky suspicion that he'll win. I'm trying to think, what other male performances this year have been, like, superb? I mean, is he, you know, if they give it to Peter O'Toole, are they really dissing anybody big? I can't remember offhand if there's been any absolutely must-win. You know, it seems like anybody that plays Truman Capote or some
Dream
musical
Girls
figure
is coming, and that's the one they're saying. Dreamgirls.
What is Dreamgirls?
Dreamgirls is the musical that was actually a musical on Broadway for many years.
Right, that's right. I heard of it.
It's sort of a Supremes kind of story about three women who become a great girl group.
Okay.
And it's supposedly amazing for Jamie Foxx and Eddie Murphy and Beyonce.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
That's coming. So I hear there's a lot of Oscar buzz around that because it's David Geffen's last film, I guess, in Hollywood, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think he's going to, he wants to buy the LA Times or something and retire from making movies.
So he'll just be a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Well, that's what I hear. I don't know if it's going to happen, but.
The LA Times. Yeah, that's up for sale,
right,
I think, right?
Right, and that's what I heard he wanted to buy.
Oh, good. I hope somebody decent buys it. That's a world-class organization that's going to pot real fast. I mean, what is it? A month ago, they laid off, you know, half or something of their workers. I mean, absolutely, absolutely, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
All these great newspapers, Tribune, same thing, Chicago Tribune, is just shedding people left and right.
Right. Well,
because that CNN journalism is getting so much better. God.
I had no idea how much bigger Fox is than CNN.
Is it?
No,
I didn't know.
Like more than twice the size.
Oh, wow.
Shocking.
Well.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is kind of shocking.
Yeah. Want to talk about your iPod?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Jeff
and his iPod, because I don't have an iPod, and I'm probably not going to buy one based on when iPods die, which is the big article in the Wall Street Journal.
And I did want to tell the audience my iPod died.
Your iPod did die.
So I got a little bit less than 2 years out of it, and then I bought the video iPod, so...
Well, it's long been promised.
So we'll see how long that lasts.
To hear that the batteries don't hold up, the hard disk malfunction, and the screens crack. That's what they've been hearing for.
Well,
really
my problem was I think I shared it with the audience last podcast. My controls have stopped working. They were intermittent.
Right.
And finally, I finally had enough, and so I threw it against the floor. Not at my house, because I wouldn't want to damage my floors, but I flew it against the floor, mostly because I was A, enraged, and B, because I wanted to actually, you know, science. I wanted to test it and see if it would take it. Didn't take the abuse at all.
It
broke,
shatter?
It broke into like three pieces.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
It made me laugh.
Well,
with glee.
Well, some people swear that there's a self-destruct mechanism as soon as the warranty is up, which I thought was really pretty cute. Apple says that the failure rate is less than 5%, and they have sold 70 million in the 5 years since it's been out.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty high percentage, less than 5%. The biggest complaint is the battery, especially that the battery saving power was getting shorter as the music played longer.
Well, I'll tell you what, I firmly believe, and I just think it's an absolute shame, and it's not right, and maybe they'll change it. I think the iPod is a great device and really nice and easy to use, but a major design flaw is the fact that it doesn't have a replaceable, rechargeable battery, I think.
Funny you should mention that, because you can buy a kit.
I know.
Okay, Apple,
you got to solder things together.
Apple will replace the battery for $65.95, but you can actually buy the do-it-yourself replacement kits between $25 and $35 that include the special tool for prying the iPod apart.
Yeah.
Or you can take it to the new cottage industry that has sprung up.
Yeah.
Just replacing the batteries
and
repairing iPods, which I think is pretty amazing. But
Apple, why did they design it without the replaceable battery?
Well,
I mean, it's like having a digital camera, which I just bought, with no replaceable battery. It's a design flaw, I think.
Or it was designed like that on purpose.
Well, I don't have a lot of hope that the iPod I just bought will last more than 2 years. And part of me feels really stupid going up to the Apple cash flow machine and just signing up again.
Well,
you know, but I do like the product when it works.
You just have to be careful on the new video, because they're saying the screen is really fragile. They're more vulnerable than any other model to water. Even sweat and high humidity can cause it to break.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but my last iPod was a fourth generation, so it's kind of old. But I told you the controls have stopped working, and you evidenced some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that part of it was sweat from the gym. And I bet I'm still...
I think you're right.
I really do. And now I've got my current video iPod wrapped up in a protective thing. But I mean, part of where I really use it is the gym. So I need it to be waterproof. I really do. And
perhaps we should have looked at the other two competitors, but Apple still has 75% of the market, even in spite of Microsoft and SanDisk.
Yeah.
But everybody does say they are pretty fragile. However, these shortcomings haven't really impacted their sales, as far as anybody can really tell.
Yeah. It still has the coolness. But, you know, there's a coolness vibe. It's a well-designed product from a usability standpoint. To me, a major design flaw, like I said, is the battery, lack of replaceable battery. It's built on the cheap. But, you know, I can accept that to some extent. Maybe the product was a little bit cheaper.
Well, let's talk about
built
on the cheap. Because actually, I have those numbers. I can tell you how much it costs to make one.
Yeah.
But did you know people are selling them back, though? Like people that have broken ones, like you're describing yours. There's a buyback option that you can actually send it back, and you'll get between $35 and $95 to this iPodRescue.com.
It was funner for me to break it.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
I figured there'd probably be some value if I could hang on to it, but I didn't want to.
Right.
I wanted to see if it would bust.
So do you want to know how they're made?
Well, I wanted to make one mention. The fact that we're putting down the iPod, I think what that means is that there are certain things that could be better about the product. And I think that that means that there is, even though Apple has got this great market share, there is an opportunity space in this market for a competitor. There really is.
Have you looked at Microsoft's?
I haven't looked at it too closely. The Zune?
Uh-huh.
No, I haven't. They're expecting, I just did see an article in the paper this week, though. They are expecting pretty heavy sales by next summer. They expect it to be really, of course, I think that's...
I haven't seen any ads for it at all.
No, I haven't either.
Mm-mm. Huh, that's kind of a miss. But anyhow, so...
And just if I may say one more thing, the other thing that I should probably know this because I'm kind of a technology junkie a little bit, but like
yes, you
all
are.
The music that I've bought on iTunes, I'm kind of like, well, this is Apple's format and it's protected. You know, if I go with another solution, am I out that music? You know? Yeah, it'll play on the computer, but I don't care about that.
Right.
So it's almost like, you know, you sign up in the pipe and now that said, I haven't bought that many things on iTunes, but still, I want that music.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I haven't bought that much.
It seems like, I don't know what the answer is, but I did hear that Microsoft started their own service.
Yeah.
And I thought they worked on both.
But
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Apple isn't open, but I could be wrong. Mm. But yeah, I would prefer an open solution, certainly.
So you know that somebody buys, you know, we're selling 88,000 a day in the U.S.
Hmm. Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. 70 million in the past 5 years. But there was a really interesting article that was in the Times, the Daily Mail in London back in August, and it actually made its way around the world a bunch of times because they were talking about it's got, they talk about the Nano particularly because
okay.
the Nano had just come out and there's 400 components in the Nano. Huh. And if you want to talk about a global product and how the Nano is made and you're talking about how they're made cheaply,
yeah.
well, this article has broken down the cost of what it costs to actually make a Nano.
Wow.
And they talk specifically about the labor cost to make it and all the other parts too, but they actually trace the journey of the iPod from its conception to its completion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting article that the first factory they go to is in Longwo, which is 20 miles from Hong Kong, and it's a Taiwanese company called Foxconn, and they do lots and lots of tech.
Hmm.
They're one of the largest plants anywhere that does tech product. Now imagine a city the size of Plano, right? Plano mm-hmm. here in Dallas.
Right.
Over 200,000 people work and sleep, and that's all they do are make iPods.
Oh, really?
The entire city, over 200,000 people in iPod City. There are actual police, not security guards, around the city. The workers live in dormitories. They live 100 to a room. 100 to a room. Okay, think barracks, right?
Wow.
They have hardly any possessions, and they come with a bucket to wash their clothes.
They get a bucket? It's not bad.
They bring their own bucket.
Oh.
The accommodations are free, but they're not allowed to have any visitors. Okay? So they interview this one 21-year-old woman who is on the assembly line for Apple. She works 15-hour days, and she earns $51 a month, and that's in U.S. wages. Converted it. That's low even for China, but
really?
She happens to be in a poor region, so workers will accept less. She works really hard. In the morning, the men do push-ups and calisthenics, and if they are told that they need to work overtime, they have to, which is technically illegal, but a lot of companies do get away with it in China. So her days are pretty much 15-hour days, which
wow.
is really pretty hard. Then this article, the writers go to the second iPod factory. They produce 2 million motherboards and 150,000 laptops a month, as well as the iPod Shuffle. The site is 8 football fields long, surrounded by barbed wire, 50,000 workers. 6 gates are manned 24 hours a day. The dorms are outside of the plant, so the workers walk to work back and forth, and they have to pay for the dorm and food at this particular factory. They make $102 a month. They work 12-hour days. The security guard actually earns more. He makes $150 a month. And they say that there are more women than men on the production lines because women are more honest, and these are very easy products to steal.
Even from my job at Motorola, which I had many, many years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was an engineer on the circuit board line.
Uh-huh.
More women than men, and they always said it's because women had smaller and more nimble fingers.
True. That's true. So here's where the cost breakdown comes into effect. The Nano has 400 parts.
Okay.
The total estimated cost to make it is $78. The flash memory is by far the most expensive part of it, but $47. That's made in Korea. The amplifier is made in the UK.
Okay.
That costs about $1.60. The batteries are $5 each. Labor is $8. That's
wow.
it. $8 of that $77.90 is labor.
Wow.
So to manufacture it all together, $77.90. And considering the global complexity of getting all these parts together, you can see why there are shortages. Like when you can't quite like I was talking about shortages with the TMX Elmo.
Right.
All these various parts all have to come together.
Right.
But they all come together from all, and they are housed in a warehouse in Hong Kong, and then they ship them to some of these factories that are their approved sites, and they put them together. But actually, I know it sounds like low wages, but I've been in a lot of factories, and that is actually a really great wage for Chinese people who work in the rural areas and
right.
come to live in the factories, because they send the money back to support their families. But Apple does spend more money marketing the product than making it, far more marketing it, which is why I was surprised that Microsoft hasn't been doing it. And just one more thing, don't listen too loud, because listening to loud music with your earphones on your iPod more than 90 minutes a day will damage your hearing permanently.
What?
That's what the new study says. That's if you listen at 80% of the volume for 90 minutes a day, you could have hearing damage.
Well, it depends. You know, well, I don't know what 80% of the volume means, because, for example, I have a number of different headphones because I'm kind of a headphone junkie, and they're all different properties, so they're not created differently. I can get with the same amount of juice or output from my iPod, it'll have a different level in my ears depending on the headphone. So 80% is...
But if you turn it up to what, if the dial goes from 1 to 10, you turn it up to 8.
Right. But that's, but that, depending on what headphones that's I'm wearing, that's either not very much or that's a lot.
They're saying earphones, because, not headphones. This is if you put the earplugs in.
Okay. But even with earbuds, same thing, because earbuds have efficiency ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I'm being a little... That's a nit.
You're being really technical.
That's
there,
a little bit of a nit, but yes, I understand. But as a result, I would say I never listen to my iPod at 80%. It's way too loud for me.
It is way too loud.
Yeah.
But they're saying that teenagers, what they're concerned about is they're not hearing it now, but they are going to hear it. And so we're going to end up with this generation with people with hearing loss because of iPods. So there'll be legislation in New York City down the road in 20 years telling people they're not allowed to listen to their iPod above a certain... Just
David. That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Well, I think that's going to be the show. So we're going to try to get another show up for the Christmas holidays. So we'll wait to wish you a Merry Christmas till next time.
And a Happy Hanukkah.
But just to be clear, we're not wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Not yet.
Not yet. So we're just saying in theory that we will do that at a different date. So in case you miss the next episode, then Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. And is there any other holidays? Just Happy Holidays.
Kwanzaa. Don't forget Kwanzaa.
And Kwanzaa. And
Kwazi
Kwanzaa. So again, our phone number for voice comments is 206-337-1670. We hope you call. Write us at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. Gretchen doesn't have an email because she really didn't want one. But
and that's all right. He gets all the notes.
But I forward everything to her. And our website is www.thisandthatpodcast.com. On the blog part of it, I've got pictures of my house with the, because it's being
new painted
job. That's very cool. The old paint job was kind of boring.
Feminine.
And light pink. This is masculine now, and all the architectural detail of a Craftsman bungalow are highlighted. I think it's looking good.
It does look good.
So check that out for pictures. And until then...
And I live in a tent somewhere.
No, you have a very, very nice house.
Until then,
happy... As Gene Autry, my hero, would say, happy trails.
To you.
Bye.